It's June 23rd. I'm in the Barnard Media Studio with Reed today. Could you please introduce yourself with your name, pronouns, and class year?
Hi, I'm Reed. They, them, and class of 2025.
And could you tell me a little bit about the first home that you grew up in?
About the town I grew up in?
The town, or, yeah, anything about what it was like for you growing up.
Oh, wow. I grew up in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. Not to dox myself, but but it's like, I think now the population is 10,000, so it's been growing, and it's very red. Like, we have gun stores and churches on, like, every corner, literally. There's four churches on four corners, and so it's very conservative, and it's also very homogeneous in the sense that it's, like, super white, super, like, we've grown up here our whole lives, and, like, we'll continue to. So it's very much that vibe.
And could you tell me a little bit about your parents or the family that you grew up with?
In what sense?
Just, like, about them or about your family.
Okay, like their views on genderqueer people? Or just in general?
Just, like, in general, as people.
Okay, my mom is very, like, she is a socialist to her core, but also an anarchist, and she's, like, dabbled in communism. There's theory books all over her house, and she has posters up in the dining room of, like, Second Bill of Rights. So her vibe is very, like, confrontational with the government. She's big on community. She's also a very anxious person, like, about lightning and, like, other random things. And so, yeah, she's very much, like, a community builder, and a big family person. My father is weird. He's just the weirdest man I've ever met. I don't know how else to describe him. Politically, he's neutral, but also he has some randomly very high skewed views. He just says terrible things sometimes, and so he's not always the best person. My sister leans more towards my mom politically, but she's very distant. My brother, I don't think he's thought about politics a day in his life, and he's just very, like, a chill, not gonna push too hard, just gonna lay back, smoke some weed, just roll through life kind of guy.
So do you feel like your family, with, like, political wise, stood out from the rest of your community at all?
Big time. My mother, like, we've had her tires slashed before, and she's gotten, like, death threats. So, like, she was not, like, her politics extended into, like, community organizing and activism. So she was, for quite a few years, she was pretty, like, visible in the community. And so that definitely backfired on our family a bit. My father, I think he's always done his best to blend in. He's always believed in, like, you know, keep your head down, just assimilate. He, like, listens to audiobooks about, like, how to get ahead in your career and, like, philosophies of life. He's definitely, like, self-help book guy. And so they're very, very different people. Like, my dad will just agree to anything, whereas my mother will fight everyone on every little point. So I think my mother definitely stands out.
And do you feel like you're more similar to your mom or your dad?
Definitely my mother. Imagine if I said my dad.
And then could you tell me, what do you remember about your elementary school experience?
Oh, I didn't like it. I really hated it. I think I had maybe, like, one friend. Maybe the whole time. I just wasn't interested in socializing, and I definitely had sort of, like, anxiety around talking to other people, but also contempt for them because I was already very radicalized, and they would, like our school would like, bring up political topics. Like, we had mock elections or whatever. And so that definitely created tension. Yeah, if you can't tell, politics has been a big part of my life.
And were you able to find other people who shared your political opinions? Do you remember back that young?
In elementary school? So I remember, like, elementary school, not really many people knew stuff, but I remember I would just talk to people, like, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. I really was, like, just raging for her at the time, and so I would talk to people about her, and I kind of learned, like, oh, if you just state the views but not the party, people will kind of come, like, be more interested. So I would definitely, like, talk to my conservative neighbors and stuff like that and be like, okay, but this is what these people want, and this is what these people want. So, like, so kind of, but not, like, solidly. Like, they would still be like, no, I'm a young Republican, but, like.
And what do you remember about your experiences in high school?
About, just in general?
Yeah, navigating that politically or as an LGBTQ plus person.
I also didn't like it. I started out, I spent my freshman year in a public high school, in the closet, and, like, both in terms of my sexuality and my gender. And so it was fine. Like, honestly, it was fine, because, like, even if people suspected, like, they didn't know, and so they didn't care. And so that was fine, but I ended up transferring schools just for academic reasons. And then, so I was in a private, like, all-girls school, which, again, I didn't know at that time that I wasn't a girl, but I was very uncomfortable with, like, the skirts and the dresses. It's a very traditional school. Their uniform hasn't changed in, I think, 100 years. And so, yeah, since, like, early 1900s. And so, there, in terms of, like, politically, there was a lot more people that I found, like, connection with that, like, genuinely would say, yeah, I think, like, socialism is, like, a really good idea. Like, I think I would be on board for that. And I don't know if it's just because they came from, like, richer families. Like, the demographic there was vastly skewed. I was the poorest person, or, like, tied with these two girls from Mississippi. And, like, so it was vastly skewed to, like, the very wealthy. And so I don't know. That probably had some sort of role in, like, making people more liberal somehow. But yeah, in terms of my sexuality, I was pretty open about being gay almost immediately. Like, why have I told you that I hooked up with a girl at the first 3 days of being there? Well, I did. So I wasn't hiding it at that point. Like, I came out to people on the first day, just, like, a few people.
Here and there.
Yeah. And then I think a year later I told my closest friends that I was non-binary, but then I just kept it pretty much within that group and, like, a few others that I, like, came to trust. But other than that, I wasn't open about it.
And then back to the school uniforms you mentioned in high school, do you feel that the way you dress is, like, a very direct way to express your gender identity?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know. We would have off uniform days, like, for special occasions. Those were definitely, I was so much happier on those days. Like, I would genuinely notice, like, how much happier I was. And I think a lot of it has to do with comfort and also expression. Like, when we were wearing when we did have to wear the uniforms, which was most of the time, I would wear this really big, ratty, like, black jacket, and it wasn't in code at all. Someone had just, like, sewn or, like, school logo onto it. Definitely wasn't supposed to be allowed, but no one ever, like, properly gave me demerits for it. So I would just wear it, and it was kind of, like, the best I could do to get away from that, like, feminine look.
And how do you currently define your gender identity?
Non-binary. Like, do you want descriptive words, or is that, like,
just, like, whatever you're comfortable with or whatever?
Yeah, I would just say, like, non-binary, just uncomfortable, I think, with more feminine expression.
And then what were you looking for in the colleges that you were applying to?
I think, yeah, the first thing I was looking for was, like, a very, at the minimum liberal, ideally leftist community, because I was sick of being like treading on my toes. Because I know I said before, like, GPS was a very, like, it was much more liberal, but it wasn't like you could just go around saying something still. You were gonna get like weird looks, arguments, fights, stuff like that. And so I just wanted to be in a community where things were more accepted, like general topics, like, you know, how critical race theory is starting to be banned. Well, that's something probably a lot of people at my old school would have supported, even though it's more liberal. And so I wanted to come to a place like Barnard or another school that has a like a highly liberal concentration, so I just wouldn't really have to worry about like watching what I said, and I could focus more on like studying the things I wanted, talking about them, and it just being like chill.
And then since coming here, do you feel like you found that to be true, like most of it is a very liberal environment?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever talked to like a properly conservative person here. Like, I've definitely talked to people who are like questioning different beliefs, but I think that's very different from being like the way people were in my hometown, which is like almost violently conservative. And so I think that's definitely true of Barnard, is it's extremely liberal and by all separate accounts very leftist, even if economically, I guess it doesn't, I haven't seen that as much. It's more like socially, like extremely leftist, especially in terms of professors. I think they've all, at least maybe I just self-select my professors, but they've all been like pretty good about that.
And what drew you to Barnard when applying to college? I guess that was like...
Yeah, that's the big thing.
What did you intend to study when you applied?
I actually always went in as a political science major, which I still am now. But I was considering like economics. No. But now I'm a political science and human rights like joint major. I'm doing the program. And then doing some sort of minor, probably in sociology.
And was economics something you tried and just didn't like, or you just changed your mind when you got here?
I didn't even try it. I was just like, I was thinking about like politics. I was like, oh, I should know stuff about economics. But now I'm just like, that's not what I want to work in. Like, it's different learning things from a policy basis and learning things on like a business basis. And I didn't want to fuck with the business part.
And what stands out to you about your experience attending Barnard so far?
I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
I guess if you could, like, choose a moment from your first year that stands out to you in, like, a personal way or a negative way.
In a negative way?
Yeah, anything.
I mean, I feel like Barnard's COVID policies are trash. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah, no, I'd love to.
I mean, yeah, just the way they like, they don't provide enough support for people who get exposed to COVID, like figuring things out. It definitely should be a more involved process than just, oh, you're exposed, do this, or, oh, you have it, do this. Like, it's, I feel like that's been lacking. I'm sure that'll be useful.
And was that, like, a personal experience? Like, you got COVID and Barnard, the way Barnard handled it just was not satisfactory.
Yeah, like, I had, or we were exposed to COVID during midterms, but we were still in, like, an immunity, or, like, some sort of period from the last time we had COVID, which makes me sound really irresponsible. I'm not, like, going to parties. But yeah, so they wouldn't let us test or like submit results, and so that was frustrating because we couldn't do anything official. So I basically had to like beg professors continually like not to make me go in, and this was during midterms, and so I was like, it just was not fun having to bargain.
And how do you feel about the college experience that Barnard has provided for trans students?
I don't feel like they provided any specific experience for us in the sense that they're actively thinking about and catering towards us in any capacity. I think it's definitely more of a, at best we acknowledge where you're here, kind of. I don't feel like I've seen any effort to reach out with, like, services. The only extent to which I've seen them reach out in any way, and perhaps I'm just not, like, digging, looking for it enough, but I feel like this is true, is, like, in little, like, one-off seminars, well, they'll bring someone in and be like, look, this is a trans person. They'll talk to you now.
And then in terms of services that you felt were absent, what kind of services were you talking about that you feel Barnard could be providing?
Definitely more healthcare. Like, I'd love to be able to talk to someone about actually, like, options, stuff like that. Like, I have no clue where to go with that. Like, and at home, I had no clue where to go. The best option I had was, like, driving several hours to a Planned Parenthood, and, like, how was I going to hide that? And I think here, it's, like, I don't even have the time to do that now. So, yeah, just someone that I could talk to that wouldn't be like, well, fill out this insurance thing, and your parents are going to know because it's going to show up in the insurance, and blah, blah, blah. So, something like healthcare, and then what other services? I don't know, just something that keeps more in mind that, like, we're more likely to face things like harassment and stuff like that. Getting a more, like, comprehensive approach to that instead of treating it as, like, a general population issue, like, something within that. If that makes sense.
And have you had any experiences so far with Barnard's primary healthcare service or any healthcare service at Barnard?
Yeah, I actually did go in for, like a test. So, but the specific person I was working with was really great. She was like, she covered up, there's like some sort of diagram on the wall, and she covered up like the female vagina part. So it was just like the vagina. I was like, cool. And she was talking about how she just like, yeah, she was like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anybody can have a vagina. And so she was just like, fun. And so, yeah, I've only had a positive experience in the extent that, like, I was working with a one specifically cool person.
Okay. And can you tell me about some of the communities that you've been a part of during your time at Barnard?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Arasima, that one's directly relevant. We made zines about being genderqueer at Barnard in Colombia. And then other communities, like not genderqueer ones?
Yeah, just any.
Wait, do you mean like clubs or like just like vague communities?
Both. Like, okay. If you, just whatever you can think of.
Yeah, I'm involved in like Athena pre-law, but also questioning whether or not I want to be a lawyer, so that's interesting. Which, in terms of this project, they're very homogeneous, in the same sense of being like mostly just white girls. And then also involved in the Columbia Undergraduate Law Review. They're better specifically towards like disabilities and stuff like that. I think it just comes from being a much larger organization as well. They're more keeping things in mind. But I thought that, I felt like the experience there with being genderqueer was more welcoming. Or at least it definitely wasn't a little bit hostile. Yeah, and I think in general, just like as Barnard as a community is much better than like any previous like solid like large community that I've been in about being genderqueer.
And do you feel like the lack of diversity that you had mentioned is on behalf of the, like, the organization doesn't lend itself to genderqueer members, or just the lack of community kind of puts genderqueer members off from even applying to those organizations?
For Athena Pre-Law?
Yeah.
I think Athena Pre-Law is extremely, like you have to go through an application process to be on the board, and so they're self-selecting. And I think it also is geared towards women as well. Yeah, I think their whole thing is, like, how do we get women into this? And so I think as far as that organization goes, it is, like, they're self-selecting women. And I don't remember whether or not I lied on my application or just was, like, or didn't lie and they just happened to pick me anyway. I don't remember if there's even, like, a section to, like, indicate pronouns or whatever. It might have just been, like, talk to us about, like, these issues or your plans if you were to get in here. So, yeah, I think they're definitely a little bit, like, just women-focused, and so we're all women. But I don't think that's necessary at a place like Barnard where you're claiming to serve, like, more than women if you're serving the Barnard population. So it feels unnecessarily restrictive.
And with applications like applying to Barnard and then, like you mentioned, applying to Athena Prelaw, where it does ask you, or not sure on Athena Prelaw, but for like applying to Barnard where it asks you to like verify that you identify as a woman, are checking those boxes like, I guess, is that a difficult decision to make, or is it just kind of like just another step that you have to take?
I definitely mulled it over. I was like, but it wasn't in the sense that like I cared about lying. I don't know, like I didn't care whether or not I lied to Barnard.
And how have you felt during your time at Barnard as it still defines itself as a women's college? Like your relationship to just Barnard calling itself a women's college?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't know what else they would call it. 'Cause they definitely take the money of, like, a ton of non-women people, whatever. And so I think it's interesting, the exclusionary aspect of that, the necessary exclusionary aspect. But I also am not advocating for being like, we'll just open it up to the cis men. Yeah. So I don't know, it's complicated because I'm like, I do want a space without cis men specifically. And I have no qualms about saying that. But I'm just not sure like what other terms or terminology they could use to describe themselves that would be like accurate. I don't know.
And what is it about cis men specifically that you're looking to avoid?
Just annoying, overbearing. I feel like I've just only had pretty negative relationships and dynamics with the cis men that have like continually been around me in my life. It's just like they're barred from seeing some fundamental truth about life that makes them an asshole. Which I know that's not true. Like society has specifically like geared them up to be sort of terrible by setting expectations and then cruelly reinforcing bad behavior, like discouraging more gentle behavior in men. But still, it's like they are existing as they are existing right now, unfortunately. And so I just don't want to deal with the senses of entitlement, of superiority, the objectification of like my peers. Personally, I'm not worried about that. Like ever since I cut my hair and started wearing boys' clothes, men don't even look at me, and that's great. But like it would be really bad, or it is really bad, like on Columbia's campus. I know like terrible things happen over there. And so yeah, as far as I can separate myself personally from men, the better.
And so do you then find yourself kind of just avoiding Columbia and sticking to a more like Barnard focused experience?
Socially, yes. Academically, I don't have many qualms about taking classes at Columbia, but maybe that's just because the specific classes I'm taking tend to be pretty split in the middle and also so far very large. Like I only have 1 year of academic experience at Barnard, And so far, I haven't had to, like, interact with any men at all. So I think I've just come out a little lucky in that sense. So I haven't been avoiding it except for in, like, social scenarios. Like, I would never join any, like, social clubs over there.
And do you feel a connection to the phrase trans joy?
Yeah.
With your personal experiences in mind, how would you define trans joy?
I think it's definitely just, for me, it comes out very physical. Like, I like dressing a certain way, having my hair a certain way, like having, yeah, that stuff. And just sometimes I'll just wake up and I'll look a little different and then I'll be like, yes, this is great.
And can you pinpoint anything, like, about those days where you wake up and you feel like you look different? Do you know what looks different, or is it just a feeling that you get when you look at yourself?
Yeah, I mean, just something about just the way I, like, look that morning will just look more in line with how I, like, or how my gender is, I guess. Just more in line with that. So some days I'm like, oh, it's fine that my lips are this way or my jawline is this way. And then other days it's like, no, that's not fine, actually. So I think it is different just, like, based on mood and also just how I look that day.
And can you think of a time when you experienced trans joy during your time as an undergraduate? This does not have to be affiliated with Barnard.
Yeah, just in little moments like those, and also just being able to, like, talk with other trans people normally. So, it just feels good to be able to say something and someone will just, like, understand it without, like, having to explain anything. Like, some of my cis friends get confused, though I don't try to, like, bring trans things up with them, but, like, they'll just be like, huh? Or just not get the same things, you know?
And do you feel like it's been easy to find a community of other trans students when you've been at Barnard?
I think there's definitely parts that are easier and harder. Like, it's easy to meet people individually, and there are now, like, a few groups popping up here and there where it's, like, connecting trans people, all, like, operated by students. So, I think it's probably getting a little easier than it was before. Or maybe a lot. I don't know. I wasn't here before. But for me personally, I think it's actually been pretty easy, but also I may just be lucky.
Do you feel like that experience has been impacted by the pandemic at all?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely can't, like, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable in, like, classroom sizes of space, and so it's definitely hard to, like, go out, meet people, go to, like, parties where people may be, stuff like that. Like, it limits your options a lot.
And how do you feel about Barnard's policies regarding trans students? Like, backtrack a little bit. What do you feel would make it easier to connect with other trans students?
Huh. I don't know. Like, I feel like there still is a little bit, well, I don't know. It's almost negligible. I don't know. That's a good question. That's something that I haven't really, like, thought about before. Yeah, because I don't want to say, like, more online spaces to meet, because it sucks to meet people online. But yeah, I don't know. I think people are trying their best with things like student-run organizations and then little pocket communities, like, on Discord and stuff. And so I don't know what I would suggest. Sorry.
No, you're good. Okay, now back to, how do you feel about Barnard's policies regarding trans students?
Like, which specific policies? The only policy I know of is that, like, if you figure out you're not a woman here, you can still go here. That's, like, the only thing I know.
Yeah, there's that policy. There's, in 2015, I'll have to double check, but I think in 2015, Barnard finally announced that it would admit trans women. So I guess a different way to phrase that would be, how do you feel, how do you feel about, like, how long it took for Barnard to even acknowledge that trans women belong here and just that trans students exist here?
Yeah. That's interesting, because I know they were documented and visible way before this. I got a friend in U.S. Lesbian and Gay History who was like, oh, this is, like, the culture of genderqueer people, like, way back when at Barnard and at, like, other women's schools. So I think women's schools, I can't say this for certain, but it seems like they've always been sort of a little safe haven for, like, queer people. And so, yeah, 2015 does seem late, but it was also when the country legalized gay marriage. So it's like, I think they're both ahead of their time and behind contextually, because their community is vastly, like, skewed towards being queer and then therefore genderqueer in some ways. And so I think they were a little late when it comes there. And I think Barnard is also, like, publicly concerned about their image a lot. And so I think they were trying to, that even if they did have the best intentions, which I'm not trying to claim that they did or say that I believe that they did, you know, it takes, like, one board member being like, no, lose money. No one wants to send their kid to a school with trans kids. So, yeah, I don't know. So they rejected trans women before that?
Yeah, it was that because of how financial aid is filed, that would out them, and then Barnard would automatically, the system would automatically deny their applications.
Interesting.
And how would you change Barnard's policies regarding trans students, if you would?
Yeah, I would definitely just upfront be more opening to trans people. Because that's, yeah, sorry, I'm still mulling over that, like, history. But yeah, they're definitely, like, you're going to have trans people here. That's just the truth of it. You might as well accept a more diverse range of transgenderqueer people. Yeah. So I think just being more upfront and open and sort of welcoming, because there's no really point at this stage for them to continue to be somewhat, like, distancing themselves from trans people.
And this is kind of along the same line. What work do you feel needs to be done to make Barnard a safe space for students to explore their gender?
Yeah, I mean, being more open up front and being, like, removing the excuse from anyone of, like, this is a women's school, like, taking that out of people's mouths, by just being very clear that this is not just a women's school. Yeah.
Do you know, or I guess, do you have an idea of the kind of language they would use if they did replace, or if they did phase out calling themselves a women's college?
Yeah. So I'm not sure, because I feel like any language at all is exclusionary. I mean, they could say, this would just be towards my personal preferences, but they could say, we accept anyone but cis men. So if you're not like it, because then that would be much more representative of their actual demographic which is pretty much anyone but cis men. I can't think of anyone that that doesn't cover. But I feel like they'll, I don't know if they'll ever come out with that sort of terminology.
And to wrap up, what does being trans mean to you?
I think it just means, like, there's a difference, there's a divide between what people, like what you're both assigned at birth sexes and your gender, as well as perhaps, or at least this is probably just applicable for me only, but just how people perceive you and your gender. So just there being these strange, like, societally constructed divides between, like, who you actually are and who society perhaps thinks you are, labels you as, etc.
Okay, well, thank you for coming back in.
Yes.